Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
ARK Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In 1 hour, we're giving away Caps tickets on Grant and Danny. The football discussion today is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Mike McDonald is coming to town with the Seattle Seahawks. McDonald is one of the really good young coaches in the NFL, and it's a familiar name for most Washington fans because he was interviewed in a big part of the process a couple years ago when the Commanders landed on Dan Quinn. So he becomes the second guy who was a part of that interviewing process that Washington chose Dan Quinn over to coach a team against the Commanders this year with Ben Johnson. You look at the hiring process. He actually did get hired a day before Dan Quinn, but you remember the specifics are weird, but like he talked to them, had a couple interviews. Then he jumped on a plane to go back out to Seattle after Washington seemed to be zeroing in on Dan Quinn and he ended up getting the Seahawks job. I don't know. If they had the number two pick and all the money. My guess is if they really wanted Mike McDonald, they could have had him. But he's now one of the real hot shots in this sport. He was the D coordinator with the Ravens that everybody loved before that. And he's got the number three defense in the NFL in Seattle since about midway through last year. This is the best defense in football.
Yeah, they're 15-9. Now, they didn't make the postseason last year, but it wasn't because they were bad. They were 10-7. It was just a crowded NFC field.
They had the same record as Washington? 12-5 and 3-5.
So they're 10-7 and 5-2. So yeah. 15-9, yeah. But so again, Washington has the postseason that these guys don't have, of course. But this is one of the dudes that I wanted. I you know, top of my list was Mike Vrabel. Mike McDonald was right there where the whole league is using what he does to try to slow down the Shanahan offensive scheme and tree and
to me, that's
else.
The key. So yeah. People may have forgotten this, but when he was in Baltimore, they shoved it on San Francisco a couple times with Kyle. Remember that? One of those games was like either Christmas Day or some kind of weird day primetime game.
And it stuck in my brain, a lot of people's brains, where they're going, that's the best team in the NFL. They're winning the whole damn thing. Of course, they didn't, but you just go, oh my God.
When Miami was destroying everybody. So this doesn't sound that impressive now. I get that.
But remember then.
But when they were hanging 70 on Denver and doing some of the crazy stuff offensively with Mike McDaniel and no one could catch up, the first guy to fix and find answers and solve that Rubik's Cube was Mike McDonald. Again, Shanahan offense. Kubiak, other assistants from that tree, had a lot of problems with him. So teams, during that head coaching search, supposedly, when they were bringing him in, were picking his brain. Because it's not just Kyle and Sean. I mean, the whole league now, O'Connell with principles, all the really good offensive minds in this league, for the most part, have some version of what Kyle's doing now infiltrating their offense, and no one's been able to figure it out. McDonald kind of became the guy, the whisperer, that everybody thought, he's the answer. This is the antidote to the offense that no one can solve. And so that's why he was such a hot commodity, and boy, if it hadn't worked out well in Seattle.
And you know who their OC is, of course. It's Clint Kubiak, also from that same tree. So it's, you know, they're making each other better in that regard, which is interesting. But yeah, this was, to me, one of the guys that I was excited about. Like, there was a lot of juice here, and he was one of the in-demand candidates.
He ends up going out to Seattle. Washington gets Dan Quinn. They had a ton of success, 12 wins last year, got to the NFC Championship game. I don't know that there's any buyer's remorse, but I do find it interesting that if you look at that hiring process, they were on it, man. The guys that Adam Peters was talking to, by and large, there's a few guys that either haven't gotten jobs yet. I think Anthony Weaver, who's a coordinator in Miami, or other guys that aren't necessarily ascending into stardom yet as a head coach, Aaron Glenn. But they're also, whether it was Johnson or, in this case now, McDonald, like some of the guys that they were all over and really, really liked have gone on to have a lot of success in other places. You got to give them credit for the list they put together.
That's a good point. Yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way. Because to me, the standouts were, or the names that I remember, of course, Ben Johnson, so much headline, Mike McDonald. But, you know, then I'm going, yeah, they were talking to Aaron Glenn and Anthony Weaver a lot. And there's one win between him and a guy that's, you know, probably going to be not long for this current job in Miami is they're going to blow everyone out.
But I didn't think Weaver was ever really a threat to get the gig anyway. And it seemed to me like they may say differently. I don't know. I wasn't in the room. I think Aaron Glenn was one of those, you're in Detroit already.
Mm.
This is a coordinator that everybody says is going to be a head coach. You know, I don't know. I thought Johnson had a really good case to land it. And when that didn't happen, the next guy on the list, I remember talking with you, I didn't even want a defensive-minded head coach. But of the guys that were left, because it was so skewed toward defense, that whole hiring process for whatever reason, some retreads and some defensive guys. For me, the next guy, I was like, all right, go young, go ascending, go future star. Let's go get Mike McDonald, who's hungry and, you know, hasn't done it before. And their hires ended up working out very well with Quinn. But McDonald's a star, man. He's a stud.
Certainly seems that way. And again, it's, you know, we'll have a larger resume with if and when they make the postseason. I suspect this year they probably will. And we'll see how they manage and, you know, how they do in some big games here and there. But all you can do is look at the results so far. They've been pretty damn good. They were not a great team last year and were 10-7. They kind of did the Seattle thing that under Pete Carroll for a while, where it's like the ceiling isn't that low, but they're pain in the butt to play. They want to thump you a little bit. Defensively, they were decent. They've now had another year under their belt. I'm telling you, they're nasty.
While we're talking about Dan Quinn, and I guess I'm going to ruffle some feathers here, but these are just grown-ups having a conversation, so you guys are going to have to put your big boy and big girl pants on for a second, listening to talk radio. Last year was such a smashing success, and everything went so well that they obviously bought themselves a season like this without any real questions, you know, 2 years in. But if next year is something like this midway through year three, 3 years for a coach in this league is kind of normally when you better start showing some results. Now, you've got the results of an NFC Championship game appearance and two playoff wins, which no coach had done here previously. And I'm not going to even compare like their year one to Ron Rivera's that he rested on those laurels for a few years because he got to the playoffs. Because that's a 7-win fake playoff team that lost immediately when they got there at home to Tampa Bay in the COVID year. This was a real accomplishment. You went 12-5. No team had done that here since 91. You won two playoff games. Teams here don't do that. Both of them, by the way, were on the road against division winners that were really, really good. So that was a legitimately awesome season, and you did. You got a get-out-of-jail-free card or two. But I do wonder, I mean, when does the amount of time you bought yourself from last season wear off? I think that's a fair question to ask.
It is, and you're right, we're not there now. Like, if this season continues this way,
let's say, if they go 6-11 this year.
Exactly.
You're basically back to even, as far as I'm concerned. You had the ridiculously awesome year. You would have loved to have flipped them
right,
so that it felt like the arrow was going up.
Because now you're tracking in the right, in that direction.
But my point is, okay, so how long do you get before we go, well, we got to the NFC Championship game, and look at, you know, no one's ever done the year that he had since Joe Gibbs. When does that go away?
Yeah, if we're doing this next year, you'll start to hear it, I think, from folks. People can, I think, fairly ask questions. Because you're not, which way are you trending? Right? Which way is this, is the arrow pointing?
So do you get two of these without a hot seat?
And then you still come back for your fourth year? In other words,
exactly.
Yeah, do you get two?
Again, hypothetical, everyone's going to be annoyed. I'm just asking a question that I think is perfectly reasonable.
I think so.
If next year, after whatever this disaster is that feels like it's mostly based on injuries, and we're all going, oh, you got a last place schedule, you're going to go into the season, you're going to be just fine, they'll bounce back, they're going to win 9 or 10 games. and next year you disappoint again and you go 7-10 or whatever. You get that one without any real hot seat, tough questions from Adam Peters, or is too many?
Right. No, I see what I see what you're saying. I think you still would, because again, this he to me is the embodiment, talking about Dan Quinn, of this culture they are so desperate to instill, right? This like we're on it together. I mean, like he's the head of the snake in terms of the brotherhood. I mean, they want to use the slogans. They want to have all the goofy thing on the walls, like do today what no one else will, so tomorrow you can do what they can't do, and one team, one uniform, together pulling the rope. They want to do all that stuff and live that way. This is your embodiment of that, right? Where we're not just going to abandon you when things get tough. We're not going to abandon him when things get tough. I that's my read on it from afar, is that they would say, no, we're gonna steady hand, steady ship,
right?
And they would keep doing it.
No, and if it sounds like it's an early conversation to have, I respect that. I'm saying if we're here in a year, what's that look like?
No, I got you.
Which I think is perfectly reasonable. Again, it's not like they've just lost three in a row. They've lost back-to-back games by at least 21 points.
Yeah.
That's only happened here three other times over the last 24 seasons. So it's not like what has happened over the last couple of weeks is the norm or the expectation or even okay for a team that is losing. Like, this is really bad losing at this point. I do think the injuries have to be accounted for as a big, significant reason for that. PJ's in Reston, wants to hop in on Grant and Danny. What's up, PJ? How are you?
Hey, guys. Happy day to you. So not only do I think that they won't sell, I kind of quite not yet don't think that they should sell. I think I respect the analytics and the percentages that say it's like 4 or 5% if they lose this game. But sometimes the explanation to explain why sometimes analytics don't give a deeper layer, it would take too long to kind of fit in there. But what I will say is that we kind of need to root for the Giants to beat San Francisco. And hopefully like the Rams lose them. And I'm the Bears. I'm not worried about the Bears, but, you know, like if we lose the game and San Francisco wins, I may change my tune, but if we win the game or if we lose the game and San Francisco, which plays before us loses, which is, you know, might be a stretch, then I don't think we're out. Also, even if we try to sell, there's a little bit of a logistical issue of getting the proper value back, because I think the only guy that we could really trade away to get a good value is De'Ron Payne. We obviously can't trade away any offensive line. That would create a problem. We don't have enough pass rushers to trade away Luvu. Wagner is awesome, but...
Well, you wouldn't be worrying about your current roster.
And that's the point.
If you're trading away pieces, you're okay getting worse on your own roster. Yeah, so you can't say, we can't trade away Luvu because he's our best pass rusher. Doesn't matter. You're trading him away because you're losing anyway. You got losing coverage.
And you've got good value, potentially, for a team that might say, oh, he fits perfect in our, name that scheme or system. Like, just making this up. Opposite TJ Watt in Pittsburgh, he would fit perfect because he's this hybrid linebacker, pass rusher type guy, and we're working on a 3-4. I made that up. But we might give you some decent value for that because he's under contract at not too expensive next year for what we think he can do for us. There you might get value. That's going to be painful in the short term, obviously.
5 hours away from Thursday night football this evening from Miami, Florida, where the Baltimore Ravens at 2-5 take on the 2-6 Miami Dolphins. Baltimore's season is back on. They got a win over the Bears 30-16 by 2 touchdowns. That was a really impressive win with a backup quarterback at the helm. Defense looked a lot better. Got some things solved coming out of the bye week. Now you get Miami and then the J.J. McCarthy-led Vikings, then the Browns and the Jets. So chance to put some hay in the barn here. They could Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals maybe rip off 5 in a row and get to 7-5. Going to be difficult. You got to stand up before you can run. So they got to beat the Dolphins first tonight in Miami. But in lieu of Baltimore being celebrated as kind of being back alive, they're actually the favorite to win the division. They've got over a 50% chance to make the playoffs. I wanted to play a game here called Dead or Alive, Danny. So I've got some teams whose seasons are sputtering, and I want to see if you would bet on them right now as having a chance still legitimately to make the playoffs alive, or are they dead? Are you willing to pronounce their season over? So I'm going to start in the AFC North with the Cincinnati Bengals. They were very much alive at 3-4 last week, and then they lost to the Jets. Inexplicably, can't happen, 39-38. They're now 1-3 the last couple of years in games where they score 38 points. Figure that out. Are they dead or alive?
Dead. And I think that game against the Jets is the reason. You hate to put too much on it because, you know, who knows? Maybe they come back and play well against in some of these games where they'll be underdogs. But not banking that win and being 4-4. To me, the whole point of what they're doing is, can you be within a couple games of 500 when December rolls around and Joe Burrow comes back? I don't know that you can now. If you go 500 the rest of the way, it's too late.
Bears at 1 o'clock at home on Sunday. Then a bye week. Then they've got Pittsburgh. They'll be underdogs. New England.
Dogs.
They'll be underdogs. Baltimore,
dogs.
They'll be underdogs. Buffalo.
Dogs.
I mean, come on.
You see what I'm saying?
That five-game gauntlet. Oh, by the way, the Ravens again after that.
Yeah.
Steelers, Patriots, Ravens, Bills, Ravens. Wow. Yeah, they are cooked. Dead as a doornail. It is over, Johnny. I will say they are dead. All right, next team. Dead or alive on Grant and Danny in honor of the Ravens getting back right and playing tonight. How about the Houston Texans? They host the Denver Broncos on Sunday at 1 o'clock. They are 3-4. They've already had their bye. On the other side of the Broncos this week, they've got the Jaguars, Titans, Bills, Colts, and Chiefs. Very difficult upcoming schedule at 3-4. They are 2-1 in the AFC, though. So opposite of Washington, they've got a tiebreaker-friendly schedule right now.
I think they're alive. I think everybody was very quick to bury them. The games that they lost, again, week one, weird stuff happens, but you lose by a point to Tampa, took a Baker Mayfield miracle. They lost by a score to win. We now know is a pretty good Jacksonville team. They've got some pretty good wins under their belt as well. They beat the tar out of the Ravens by 30-some points. Not that the Ravens were good at that point, but still, you beat a team by that much. You beat San Francisco this week. You were close against this good Seattle team. I don't think they're great, but I think they're fine. I think they're going to be okay. That defense is good enough. Again, it's not an easy schedule. You already touched on coming up, but that end of November, December schedule, it's a lot of Colts, a lot of Chiefs, a lot of Chargers. It's going to get tough, but I think they're going to be right around 500 and okay and still alive come playoffs.
Texans are dead.
Dead?
Here's why. Houston's going to lose to Denver this weekend.
That makes 3-5.
They're 3-5. Now you play Jacksonville coming off of the Raiders. I think they'll be 5-3. Jacksonville, two games better than you. If they beat the Jags in that game, I will announce them back alive for the moment, but it's still just so difficult with their schedule. I just think that the easy part of their schedule is behind them. You've played the Bengals. You lost that game. You've played looking at their schedule here, you played the Titans, you played the Ravens while they stunk, you played the San Francisco 49ers when they were super banged up, you won that one, but they didn't win enough of the games that they needed to, so I'm going to say they're dead. I think Jacksonville's going to end up coasting in that division probably. All right, dead or alive on Grant and Danny, team squarely on the bubble, are we pronouncing them cooked or not? How about we go to the NFC for a moment, the Atlanta Falcons. Last week, no Michael Penix, Kirk Cousins played. The offense still looked listless. They struggle against the Miami Dolphins, lose by 24. Now they have the Patriots, Colts in the next 2 weeks at 3-4 in the NFC South.
I've got them alive. I know that seems ridiculous, given how poorly they played each of the last couple of weeks, and the offense looks like they can barely get out of the huddle. There are enough games left. I'm counting two against the Saints, one against the Jets. Another divisional matchup against Carolina at home. I know they got drubbed by them on the road, but it's a divisional game. You figure you split with a team that's kind of on your same level in the division.
Still gets you to 7 wins.
That's my point, is you win one or two other games and you are still around. Again, I'm not telling you that's a playoff team. I'm not telling you they're going to win the division. They're not. Tampa is. But the season isn't over just yet. They have to do something they haven't done in a few weeks. They had back-to-back games where they looked awesome. I saw one of them. Them and that game against Washington, bye week, and then Buffalo. You go, oh my God, that group is for real. Two huge letdown games later, we're burying them a little early. They've got enough winnable games on their schedule, I think. They'll be alive.
So this is one of those, to me, where it's not just about math. If it was as simple as the record right now and how many weeks are left and what they can get to, well, yeah, every team is pretty much not dead yet unless you have two or fewer wins. This is also about what we see with this team. This is a bad offense. They have pretty good players. Drake London didn't play last week.
It's a bad offense right now.
But it is a bad offense. Bijan Robinson might be the best running back, the best skill position guy in the league, and they misuse him, and it's just awful. Everything's out of pistol, no play action, nothing under center. I hate watching their offense. I think Zach Robinson, their OC, is, he's never done this before, and it looks like it to me when he calls plays. But I don't believe in the Falcons, so I'm going to say they are dead at 3-4. How about the Jacksonville Jaguars at 4-3. They're very much alive, but I'm going to slant this to division championship. Dead or alive for you as the division champion in the AFC South?
Dead for division. I'm going to stop sleeping on the Colts. The Colts are for real. This is not a Jacksonville problem. This is a Colts problem. Jags, I think, are going to be 5-3 after this week, as you already touched on. They got Vegas. Divisional game against Houston, you know, kind of toss up there. But there's enough winnable games on their schedule where they're easily favored. You look at Tennessee, the Jets, Cardinals, etc. They're going to stockpile some wins. That's a playoff team. The Colts are for real. And I'm going to stop doing my caveats with them until further notice.
So you don't see them coming back to the pack a little bit?
No.
I think I'm seeing the same way you are right now. I'm starting to really
like that,
buy
to me,
them.
That's a 13-win team.
Well, here's what I'm going to say about the Colts. If they played the Chiefs in a playoff game this week, Kansas City may find a way to win because Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, though. I think I might pick the Colts. Like, they are so damn good right now in almost every way. They're really well coached. Shane Steichen's offensive design is up there with anybody else in the league at this moment. Everyone was killing that guy the last couple of years for being a dummy offensively. Like, how did he do this in Philly? It's almost like Anthony Richardson just wasn't that good. It's almost like having Gardner Minshew as your quarterback might limit you a little bit.
So for me, do they go worse than 5-4 over their last nine?
No,
the Colts?
They probably go 6-3.
There's your 13 wins. I don't think Jacksonville's a 13-win team. That's where my math came.
Definitely not. All right, last one. We'll localize the discussion here. Dead or alive with teams sitting around three wins. The Commanders, one-third of the way through the gauntlet. Next up, Seattle on Sunday Night Football. And then a week from now, Detroit, who's been waiting to play Washington since the moment the Commanders ruined their season as the number one seed in the playoffs last year.
Dead, sadly. And, I think that Bears game is going to really come back to bite them, even if they do turn it around, which is something they have to do. Again, losing by double digits, 20-plus points each last couple weeks. But the math doesn't work. There are too many teams with winning records, too many teams, too many bodies you have to climb over to be playoff teams. Look at the Rams, the Seahawks, the Niners. That's three. Tampa, four. Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago, better record. Philadelphia. I already just named eight teams that have better records that are probably better than you right now this minute. So even if you played great the rest of the way, let's say you do what? You go 6-3? That still puts you out of the postseason. That's 9-8. That's not good enough, given how many wins these other teams are probably going to end up with.
Yeah, you look at the conference standings. I don't know that anybody's got a worse resume right now than Washington. You know, there are three teams worse than them. I guess the Saints do because they're 1-7.
Sure.
But like New York, who's 2-6 in the NFC, is basically the same credentials as the Commanders at this point. The Cardinals, who have two wins in the NFC, are 2-3. They have a better conference record. They have a better tie-breaking resume than Washington does. If there's such a thing as picking the wrong games to win and the wrong games to lose, they've done it to this point. So yeah, as of right now, you could change this, I guess, with a couple of wins in a row that nobody sees coming. But they are very much cooked as they get ready for Sunday Night Football. Here's the good news. There is good news, I promise. They're going to look like the Redskins on Sunday. They're going to be wearing the Super Bowl era uniforms. We'll talk about that next on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ark Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Pat Summerall. You know what's funny is now when I hear Pat Summerall's voice, I think about the movie The Replacements. Because he was the broadcaster in that movie of all the big plays and highlights and stuff. But he was so basic in his
voice. Now, you starred in that movie, didn't you?
I did.
You were in that film.
An extra in that film in the crowd. But his calls were always like, back to pass, caught, touchdown. He just used his pipes and his very economic approach with words.
At the 20, 10, 5, touchdown. You're damn right.
I heard Buck recently say, Buck said when he got into NFL play-by-play, because he was a baseball guy first, he said he wanted to do the Summerall thing. And it led to everyone yelling and screaming about how he doesn't care enough and he doesn't have any excitement. And basically, he wasn't engaged or interested. And he's like, no, I was just trying to do my Summerall where I'm just economic with my words. He said, as I started to have more energy and actually call the game more, you know, people started to give me more credit. Summerall's one of a kind. Like, you can't just do that.
Well, he's so perfect with Madden, right? Like, understated Pat Summerall, because you're trying to get out of the way as soon as possible because Madden's going to just, if there's a minute of talking, Summerall's got the play-by-play for 6 seconds. And then 54 of which is Madden, like, here's, you know, he ate a turkey leg and then he beat a guy over the head with a trash can because they got confused. And anyway, this is a good reverse. That's perfect. That broadcast, my childhood, man.
The reason for that highlight from when Danny was 12 is that this weekend, the Commanders are going to be wearing the Redskins' old uniforms. Minus the logo, right? No emblem. But they will be wearing the actual colors of this football team.
The correct uniforms.
And for the first time since the 2-2-22 rebrand, they will look like the team that we all loved and cared so much about and grew up on. They will be, for one Sunday for 3 hours, and then a couple more times this season, a little bit more like the Redskins, that 91 group. Which, by the way, I was just watching the 91 Super Bowl highlight package on YouTube between the Redskins and the Bills. And Washington, that year, maybe the greatest team of all time. Not me saying that biasly. A lot of people feel that way. Just shoved it on the Bills in that Super Bowl.
First in offense, second in defense.
They are a 17-2 outfit that year. And that final game, Super Bowl, went over the Bills 37-24. They led 17-0 at the half. 24-0 in the third quarter. They led 31-10 after three quarters. I mean, they were just absolutely destroying the Bills with the whole country watching. Sorry about your luck, Marv Levy. Joe Gibbs and his boys are here to to push you around a little bit.
They had more, had a larger margin of victory than they allowed points. I'll translate that for you. They scored 485 points. They gave up 224. That's a difference of 261 points. The difference between how much they gave up and how much they scored is more than how much they actually gave up, which is insane.
It's why they're rated by a lot of these outlets that do this nationally, best teams ever. There's a couple in the conversation, but the 91 Redskins, especially when you actually do analytics stuff, look into like DVOA or any of these numbers, put back over eras, there's a real case that that was the best NFL team of all time. That defense, by the way, in that game, which sacked Jim Kelly five times in the Super Bowl, they held Thurman Thomas to 13 yards on 10 carries the year he was the MVP of the league. Think about that. So think about a running back MVP. Yeah. So it's like McCaffrey or maybe
Adrian Peterson.
You know, Bijan Robinson this year or something. And then in the Super Bowl, he averages a yard per carry while you sack the quarterback five times because you just shove it on them defensively, yet you have the best offense in the sport.
They were incredible. And again, it was Gentleman Joe Gibbs. This is not Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson running trick plays up by 40 in the fourth quarter. You know, they're calling off the dogs the instant they think they got the game won. Just unbelievable how good that group was. They were good at everything. You want to be turned over? We got you. Want to be sacked? We got you. You want to get passed on? We got you. You want to get down close to the goal line, hand off to Gerald Riggs, who's going to he's here to chaw on some gum and score touchdowns, and he hadn't had gum in months. Just mushing people. They were amazing.
I'm just so excited for these uniforms, though. This is 1,000% the correct thing to do. Ownership's about to hit a home run here when you guys see these kits being worn this weekend. This is the Redskins jerseys that it should have been for the Commanders. If you want to put the block W instead of the Native American with the feather, that's the name change. Cool. They changed the jerseys. Yep. They changed the colors. It's a different thing. It looks nothing like the Redskins, and that all changes on Sunday night in primetime. They're going to wear these as well against Denver, which is another Sunday night game a few weeks from now, and then they're going to wear them on Christmas Day for the national TV game against the Cowboys. Now, why they waited this long, I don't really get. When the schedule came out, I remember saying, how are there zero of the three in the first half of the season?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think it was going to go sideways to the point where you're falling to 3-6 potentially when you wear them for the first time and your season's over. But a little bit of the excitement has been sapped here. Like, imagine if through these eight games they were 6-2 and playing a game with a really good Seattle team for one of the top spots in the conference as a potential NFC Championship game preview type matchup right now. Just how much more giddiness and excitement there'd be about this. I think some of the juice is getting sucked out of it, but I'm not going to allow their struggles, their three-game losing streak, to take my eyes off the prize of what a big deal this is for so many of us, that a right has finally been found where there was a wrong, where they are righting a wrong of the bad uniform change, and I think this is only the beginning. I don't know if they could have come back full time with these. I think there's a lot of hurdles and things I've always heard with the league and changing jerseys right after you went to a new one. But I think they're doing everything they can to try to make sure that this is part of the fabric now, that they get back to the old Redskins era stuff.
Yeah, there are a lot of clints in the way, I think, to do this full time. But I will fully admit that my excitement is dampered by, frankly, the last few weeks and the losing and how dire I feel like kind of the predicament is. But I mean, this is for me. You know what I mean? Like, this is always kind of my reminder, not always, but this is a reminder how separate business, finance, that side of the building is from the football side, right? Like, I know they're under the same umbrella. We just think of them as Washington. This is the football team. It's what they're doing. But they can't control the fact that there have been a bunch of injuries at defensive end and receiver hasn't gone according to plan and that sort of deal. This is the marketing ownership, do everything I possibly can at all times to win the hearts and minds of the fans. That's what this is. And I'm grateful for it. I don't know how I'm going to feel, honestly. I don't know what my reaction is going to be when I watch them trot onto the field in those jerseys.
What do you mean? What are the options? You're going to be excited and you're going to like how they look.
Well, I'm going to love it so much, but am I going to get emotional? Like, that's what I mean. I don't know. I honestly, just because of so much that's been taken, and I don't just mean the name. I just mean robbed by that little twerp who ruined this special, incredible thing that I had from my childhood. He tainted it for decades. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. Am I going to sit there sobbing like a little child? I have no idea. But I do know that I'm a little bit bummed out by kind of the circumstances of football. But I'm trying, and I think I'll be able to separate that come game time and just bask in the fact that this is correct. It should have been this way all along, but you know what? I can't fight that now. It's correct now. At least I'll get to see it again, and I'm gonna be thrilled.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's fantastic. I just want to know, and there's no way to get this info. I don't even know if it exists yet. But is there an end game to this plan? Now, they're giving me an inch, and I'm looking for the mile, so to speak. But when I had originally heard that they were going back to these uniforms, and we talked about it on the show really early in the process, way back when, and let people know there's going to be some Super Bowl era stuff they're working on. What I had originally heard was that this was going to be the uniforms. And then it came out that this was an alternate they're going to wear a couple of times. Is there any thought to that actually eventually being the landing spot?
Man, where I hope.
Maybe they just couldn't have done that yet. Here's what I know. At a huge clip, these are going to go over like gangbusters with this fan base. There might be a few new young fans who go, ah, the Commander stuff is better. I mean, I'm talking about a couple of really young people and or people who don't care about the history of the team. But there's just so many more of the rest of us that if you were to do a vote, a poll of some type after Sunday night, even when they lose to Seattle, if that happens, I think it would be like 80-20. Wear these all the time, not the Commander stuff. Does that matter? Obviously, the fact that the name isn't popular doesn't matter that much. They're not changing it. But this would be a much easier fix. Teams change uniforms all the time. Uniform design, uniform shade, uniform color. Look at the Eagles with the Randall Cunningham greens that they wear sometimes that fans love or whatever. You could just, over an offseason, whenever you're allowed to by the league, and I don't know, that's the big question.
Yeah, whatever the rules are.
How many years do you have to wait or whatever? But when you're able to just touch a button, snap your fingers, wear whatever you want to wear, would they go back to these? That's what I want to know. That's my hope. Because even though they're not going to be called the Redskins, it would heal the soul quite a bit.
It's the closest thing to that, right? The two things that you can do short of the name are play at RFK again. Got to wait a few years, but that's what's happening. That site, just that, you know, that spiritual home, to borrow the phrase from so many that have advocated for it, and the uniforms. That the two out of three. It's the closest you can do to get back to that perch,
guy.
Right?
They're going to be dressed like the Redskins on Sunday.
That's Ernest Biner and Gary Clark going over the top, and Art Monk catching first down passes. Mm. Hungry man dinner, Charles Mann.
My era would be Chris Cooley catching passes, Jeremiah Trotter and London Fletcher making tackles, Stephen Davis going for 1456 in 1999, Albert Connell and Michael Westbrook both going for 1,000 from Brad Johnson. I mean, look, if you're Clary or you're Toby, it's Sean Taylor and it's who's more recent than even Cooley. It's like Antoine Randall and maybe even, honestly, like Clinton Portis. And
yeah, those are distant memories for those guys.
Alfred Morris.
Right.
800-636-1067. You got a thought on the Redskins turning the clocks back to the Super Bowl era with their 91 retros. The Commanders are going to be dressed like their old unis. Like the Redskins this weekend. Double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Grant and Danny, brought to you today and every day by the law firm Condoria & Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. Mention us to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Our double play coming your way in just a moment. How much weight did Danny gain on our mini vacation? Well, that was really a work trip. We went out to Kansas City. We did some shows. We watched some football. And we ate a lot of barbecue. How much weight did Danny gain? We're going to find out on the double play driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. We'll get to that in just a moment. Let's go to Brian in Alexandria. Brian, you wanted to weigh in on the 91 uniforms.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for taking the call. I've been a fan since the 70s. So I go back to George Allen, Sonny Jurgensen, the Over the Hill Gang, all the Joe Gibbs glory era. This is a storied franchise, and we need to get it back to that level of excellence. And so any kind of reminder of, you know, that the excellence the franchise has had over the years, I think, is a great first step.
That's a great point, actually.
Yeah.
Just, hey, used to be about Super Bowls around these parts. We were the talk of the league. We were the team everyone was gunning for in the early 90s, just so we're all on the same page, right? And remind people of that. Brian in Springfield, what's up?
Hey, I agree totally with the other Brian. I mean, I'm a child of the 80s, so I grew up watching the Redskins of that era, and the expectation was, you know, you were getting to the playoffs and it was disappointing if you didn't go to the Super Bowl. But, you know, the W on the side of the helmet, it's horrible whenever you consider the logo that we had before, but that's neither here nor there. I was at the Hall of Fame in 2008 whenever Art Monk was inducted along with Darryl Green. That entire stadium was taken over by Redskins Nation. And they had Thurman Thomas on the big board there saying, I'm glad I'm not a Cowboys fan or a Cowboy today, because, you know, just the massive amount of people that were there.
Yeah, it was all-timers.
Appreciate you, dude.
Getting honored, and the fan base showed out. You wonder what that would be like today. You know, with the fan base and the size and the scope of the base and how different it is. certainly changed
just
a lot.
Just the feel would be different, right? Because the guys going in don't have the same cachet. Even though, like, I'm a big fan of, you know, everyone from Chris Cooley to other guys from that era. You're talking about, as the caller was referencing, multiple Super Bowls, multiple NFC title game appearances, multiple division championships when that division was a buzzsaw. Like, it was Washington and the 49ers, the two teams of the 80s going back and forth for jockeying for position.
In about 12 minutes, we'll give away Caps tickets. You got to be listening right here on The Fan for our double play today. Let's play a little game. We're going to play How Much Weight Did Danny Gain on Vacation? We get to ask him yes or no questions.
That's right.
Although, Darius, you and I were with him for the entire trip, so we know what he ate. We saw him working out a couple of times. We tried to figure out how many LBs you put on over what was 4 days.
That's right, really. Saturday evening, all day Sunday, all day Monday, and all day Tuesday. So it's really, you know, 3.5 days, give it or take. Call it four.
I'll say for the purposes of meals, Saturday dinner,
mm-hmm.
and then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Yep.
So 3.5 days, how much weight did Danny gain?
Weighed myself Saturday morning, weighed myself upon return Wednesday morning.
So I'll give some info as I have it as well. You can add or subtract whatever you want to.
Absolutely.
Danny, Saturday night, we had a nice dinner out. You ate a lot.
I did.
We were at Jack Stack, but it was barbecue. It was not crazy. You didn't get a dessert. You weren't eating ice cream or anything like that. Sunday, you didn't eat in the morning. We went, for the first time, we started eating again after our tour, which was amazing, at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. We went to a sports bar and watched football all day long. And you did eat plenty there, but you ate wings.
Dry rub wings.
Burger.
Yep, I had a burger.
Okay.
Didn't finish any of the sides, by the way. So, like, no French fries, onion rings. Had a couple, but, like, just couldn't eat anymore. But
fairly common Sunday afternoon lunch.
Yeah.
And then Sunday night, we ordered pizza into the Airbnb. Did you do a bunch of damage there?
Not a lot of damage. I had two slices of pizza and one slice of that the cheesy bread, which is really just pizza.
That was so good,
by the way. It was
delicious. Cheesy bread.
Really tasty.
All right, so that was Sunday. Now, Monday, you woke up and you played pickleball with Tailgate Ted for 2+ hours.
Yes, I did.
You drove like an hour to do that, by the way, which was insane.
Yep.
So you did that. 2 hours of sweating and running around.
Mm-hmm.
Also, which day did you wake up and do your own workout?
That was Sunday morning.
Danny did a thing where his shirt was off so he could be grounded with the earth or something really strange.
That's all true.
So that was on Sunday morning?
Sunday morning.
Okay, so you worked out Sunday morning and Monday morning.
Yes.
Of the 3 days we were there, twice you got workouts.
Yes.
And then so we got through Monday, you didn't eat breakfast?
Correct.
Oh, Monday during the show, Chick-fil-A lunch.
Yes.
And then Monday at the stadium, you didn't eat anything for dinner.
Didn't eat anything for dinner.
Basically didn't eat the rest of the day. A little bit of the leftover
barbecue. A little bit of leftover barbecue from JP and B. Mitch.
Okay.
And just a couple meat items, really.
Okay. And then Tuesday, you ate Culver's at the radio station.
Yes.
So not healthy.
Right.
And then Tuesday night, we did barbecue again at the airport.
We did some airport barbecue, which, by the way, was really good.
So that's
what it. No alcohols.
Full resume of food. No alcohol, no desserts, worked out twice. Now, if you guys have any questions for Danny, go ahead.
Yes, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
Was there mac and cheese consumed? And if so, could you maybe elaborate?
No, I did not have a bite of mac and cheese.
In terms of carbs and sides, give them those.
Yeah. I had baked beans at dinner. I did have some cornbread at Jack Stack on Saturday. I had about half of the skillet of jalapeno cornbread with butter.
It was so good, by the way.
Yes, it was delicious, Darius. You're right.
Grant just denied it. He just matumbled it, basically, which is ridiculous, but it was so good.
You said jalapeno, right?
Yep.
I'm good then. Thank you.
Mm.
Toby, any questions for Danny?
No, I was going to ask about dessert, but I think you nailed it.
No desserts.
No sneaking around and trying to find some chips or anything extra.
I also think the
tons of water, a lot of iced tea.
All night long, not really eating anything Monday should benefit you. I mean, that's... You're shutting your body down to reload there. Like, you ate the last time you ate on Monday, because I was around you all night, was pretty much at the radio station at like 5 p.m.
That's right.
Where you were like just taking a fork into the burn ends and some of the other stuff.
Uh huh.
But after that, you didn't eat until Tuesday at probably noon.
Middle of the day, yeah.
And again, in fact, you were in such a terrible mood.
I was cranky.
You were like snipping at us and just kind of being short with us. And
all I'm true.
Like, what is going on with this guy? And then after we ate, Danny's like, okay, now I can be a person. I had low blood sugar. I apologize.
Yeah, I apologize for my conduct. That was not me.
You never snuck away and got to a coffee shop or anything at any time either, right?
Never once, no.
Okay, yeah.
I want to know the burn end. How many times do you have burn ends, and did you have a lot of it? Like, give me some
information. Once it was my meal majored in it on Saturday night at Jack Stack. Secondly, there were some leftover burn ends from JP and B. Mitch. I had, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 units of burn end, if that makes sense. Nowhere near a full portion that I had on Saturday evening. Had a little bit of leftover coleslaw. Had a little bit of leftover beans as well as some of the pulled pork and sauce. But again, not a ton by any stretch. Way less than I had Saturday.
Monday night, I know there was nothing in the second half, so I know you weren't exerting calories cheering in the second half because there's nothing to cheer for. But in the first half, were you an active fan up yelling, or were you kind of just sitting in your seat enjoying?
Great question.
You did not move an inch at any point during the game.
There is no sitting. You don't sit there in Kansas City. I learned that. I try not to yell at these sorts of things because I got to talk the next day, and I know that if I start yelling, I'll get carried away and have the old horse voice for the following day, so I don't yell a ton. I do my awkward, I call it the Duke front clap, though. I do this one where you reach out, which is really annoying, so I do that. I do the Duke front clap, but I don't yell much.
All right, let's make our guesses here around the horn quickly. I'm going to say 4.8 pounds.
4.8?
I don't think this is going to be a huge weight gain. Again, a lot of meat, a lot of protein, nothing crazy, no alcohol or dessert. So I think you did okay, plus the 2 workouts in 3.5 days.
I will lock in at, let's say, 6.2 pounds.
Whoa.
It shouldn't sound like a lot, but I also want to factor in that Danny says that, you know, whenever he does these things, it's typically more than what you would think, especially when he mixes in some workout. He says he still blows up sometimes.
Let's not forget, though, we're only a couple trips ago where Danny completely sandbagged us.
That's true.
And he gained like 0.5 pound in 9 days or something.
I'm going to go 3.1 pounds. Like this just, I don't know. I feel as if I'm going to be disappointed.
Knowing how Danny is, I feel like I'm along Darius's lines. I'm going to go 7.4.
7.4.
Toby's in as the high watermark for the guests.
For the record, CK has 8.6, which, again, he knows his guy. All right. So when I departed, 209.8. 209.8.
By the way, you're way down.
17% body fat right on the nose, thanks to my folks at Copair. When I returned, that's a 2. That's a 1. That's a 6.6, 216.6 for a total weight gain of 6.8 pounds.
Not bad.
In 3.5 days.
I think that's pretty well done, actually. That's mostly water weight. You're probably right now like 3 pounds up.
I don't know what I am now, but yeah. I was so irritated. I was so annoyed. I worked so hard. I didn't eat a lot of things that I could have eaten and still gained just under 7 pounds.
In 4 days, I think you're in a good spot. You should be happy. You had a great trip.
I did have a nice trip.
You ate well.
I did.
You're going to be right back down to your weight by this time next week. There's nothing to see here. I'm proud of you.
Except a little extra weight around the midsection, I think. But yes, thank you. 6.8 pounds in 3.5 days.
Now, that pickleball helped you out probably a little bit. That was 2 hours of running around.
Yes, it was.
Getting you sweaty with Tailgate Ted. All right, Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Beltway Blitz comes your way next. We're giving away tickets to see the Capitals as soon as we return.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ark Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.